We're holding on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, about the middle of the Amud, a few lines above, about 8 lines above the end of the narrow lines. Where the line begins, Rav Meir Shofar. We said in the Mishnah, Misha Berach Ma'achachach Nisman Alei Shofar, we said if somebody said the Brachas of Shemana Esrei, Malchus, Sechurinus, and Shofaris, and only then did he get a hold of a Shofar. So the Mishnah had said, Tekeo, Maria, but Tekeo, then he blows Tekeus after. We have to remember, as we've talked about before, the real original idea was that you first blew shofar during Shemana Esrei, whether during Shtila Shemana Esrei, whether during Chazeres HaShatz, there you have the different minhagim. The whole concept that we blow shofar before Musaf, that came only later, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Kedei La'ayber v'sa Satan, in order to confuse the Satan. However, we talk about the different possibilities, what that means. But so here we're saying then, so if a person didn't have a shofar during Musaf, then okay, after Musaf he blows and he's still yotze that. So the Gemara says, "Taima do I have a shofar mikra?" So the implication is the reason why he should do that is because they didn't have a shofar in the first place when it came time for Musaf. Ha, have a shofar mikra, implying that if he had a shofar to begin with, ki shamalahu asay de brachas shamalahu, then that would imply that the proper way to hear shofar is according to the order of the brachas. Some of them after Malchus, some after Zechronus, some after shofars. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel kam l'tzaluhi. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, who was davening alone, in fact, there's a girsa in some kisvayah that adds that point, habakamatz l'biyachid, that he was davening alone. Anyway, so he got up to daven, Musaf, omele l'shamei. So he says to his mishores, during the brachas of Shemana Esrei, ki nahuna loch, or nahuna loch, when I make a noise to you, because during Shemana Esrei, you can't talk, Kali, then blow shofar for me. So in other words, the same way as we have nowadays, like we give a clap on the table and they know that it's time to blow shofar. The same way he's saying to his shamash, when I make a noise, then you should blow shofar. Nahuna, Yaakov Emden points out the word nahuna is not really shayach of a huna. Nahuna would mean I remember. So really the word is supposed to be nahuna with a ches, which means like when I cough or make a noise or something. So then you'll know that I'm at the end of the bracha of Malchus or Zechronus or Shofaris, respectively, and then blow Shofar. However, Amalei Rava, but Rava says to him, that's not necessary. Loi omru ela b'chever ir. That applies that you have to hear the Tekiyas according to the order of the brachas only when you're in chever ir, meaning when you're in a chavura, in a group of the tzibur, when you have a mini. But when you're davening b'yachid, then you don't blow Shofar in the middle of Shemana Esrei. So actually you have some Rishonim learn that you're allowed to, you just don't have to, and other Rishonim learn that you're not allowed to, because it would be a hefsek, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It would be a problem of a hefsek, and therefore you can't. Tanya Nami Hochevilon, similarly in a Braisa, Kshu Shoman, when you're listening to the sounds of the shofar, Shoman, al-Seder brachas. You have to hear them in the proper order, meaning, as we said before, you have to have Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah in that order, and then after the Rabohu's Takana, of course, then you also have Tashat, and then you have Tashat, and Tarat. So you have to hear them in the proper order. But I'll say the brachas, and also in the order of the brachas, after Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofaris, respectively. But the Braisa says, when is that talking about when you're in a Chever ear, when you're in a minion? When you're not in a Chever ear, you do have to hear them in order. You do have to hear it first, Kia, then Trua, etc. But but you don't hear them in the order of the brachas either. Again, so according to some of the shonim, you don't have to, and according to some, you shouldn't, you're not allowed to because it would be a hefsek. And the braisa continues. Now, if you have a person is davening individually, and he didn't yet hear shofar, fine. Then another person can blow shofar. But if a person did not say the brachas of Shemana Esrei, ein chaveru mevorech olav, then another person cannot say the brachas on his behalf. Now, we're going to talk about soon whether you can be yotze with the chazan's brachas. That's going to be the next part of the Mishnah. But we're saying that if you're davening the yechidus, so you have Ruvain doesn't know the brachas and Shimon does, then Shimon cannot say the brachas and be motzi Ruvain. And the Braisa continues. Here's another point to be aware of. There's a bigger mitzvah in hearing the tekiyas than there is in hearing the brachas. Ketzad, so what does that mean? Shtei Ayoris, suppose you have a choice of two cities that you can go to. Let's say both of them are within the Tfum. Ba'achas Token or Ba'achas Mevorchin. In one of them, they're going to be blowing shofar. There's somebody there who knows how to blow shofar. And in another one, they're going to be saying the brachas, Malchus, Sechronis, and Shofaris. Hochin Lamakim Shetoken, then you should go to the place where they blow shofar. Ve'in Hochin Lamakim Shemavorchin, rather than to the place where they're going to make the brachas. Meaning, let's say you have over there somebody who knows the nusach of the brachas. Remember, in those times, they didn't have sidurim. Everything was Baal Peh. So you might have in one place, there's somebody who knows the nusach of the brachas and is going to be able to say them, but you don't have anybody there who knows how to blow shofar. The brachas we're talking about, the brachas, the malchus, sechronis, and shofaris. We don't mean the bracha l'tkoyah shofar. Of course not. What good would that be without the bracha, without the shofar? No, we mean, in other words, let's say there's nobody there.
I was thinking that.
No. It means the brachas of Shemana Esrei. So you have somebody there who knows the brachas, malchus, sechronis, and shofaris. They know how to daven by the amud and say those brachas, but they don't have a shofar there. They don't know anybody. They don't have anybody who knows how to blow shofar.
We can just call it the Shemana Esrei.
Call it Shemana Esrei, right? So if you have one place, in other words, where they know how to daven the Shemana Esrei of Musaf with the nine brachas, right, but they don't know how to blow shofar, they don't have a shofar there, and you have a different place where they know how to blow shofar and they have a shofar, then that's the place that you should go to. So hochem l'makom shetoken. So you go to the place where they blow shofar. But in hochem l'makom shemavarchin, you don't go to the place where they say Shemana Esrei. So we must pshita hadar raisa hadar abanan. Of course, you go to the place where there's the shofar. The shofar is required dar raisa. The brachas only did abanan. Now, by the way, we did say before, we learned on Amud Aleph that when we not on Amud Aleph, we learned a couple of blocks ago. We had an expression Rachmana Omar. The Torah says that you have to say the brachas. So the Ramban, in fact, explains it means, and we brought psukim for it. So the Ramban explains the psukim are an asmachta. It's not really the source min haTorah that you have to say the brachas. And as far as that, it says Omer Rachmana, fine. He says sometimes we can use the word Omer Rachmana on things that are derabbanan as well. On the other hand, there are some Rishonim who say that maybe what it is on a Daraisa level. Sure, on a Daraisa level, you have to mention Malchus, Sechronis, and Shofaris. But the whole thing that you have to say 10 psukim and you have to have a whole nusach over there, that is only derabbanan. Daraisa, maybe it would be enough that someplace in Shemana Esrei, you're mentioning Hashem's kingship. Someplace in davening, Shemana Esrei itself is derabbanan, but someplace in davening on the Daraisa level, you have to mention that Hashem is king, that he should remember us for good, and the concept of Shofar. But the whole concept of having separate brachas for it, according to that, would be derabbanan. Anyway, so of course you go to the place where they have the shofar. And the answer is Lloyd Sricha. Yeah, but the chiddush of the Braisa is the Afgab, the whole Vaday, the whole Suffolk. Let's say you know for sure in one place there's a chazan who knows how to daven Shemana Esrei with the nine brachas. In the other place, you don't know for sure that there's a shofar. You think there might be one there, but you're not sure. So you might think the Vaday is stronger than Suffolk. Therefore, you should go to the place where there's the Vaday for the brachas. No, we say, nevertheless, you go to the place where there's, even though it's only a Suffolk of shofar, because shofar is Daraisa and the brachas only Drabbanan. Of course, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch, if you have, let's say you can go to one, and then you're able, let's say, to have a goy bring the shofar from one to the other, which we said the other day, you yourself can't do that on Yom Tov, but you could have a goy do it for you. So then, of course, you should do that, and that way you have both. But we're talking about, let's say, it's impossible, it's one or the other, but not both things. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Kashem Shashliach Tzibur
Chayav. If you don't make the brachas, you're still Yotzil the shofar if you heard it.
Yeah, well, we mean it. Yeah, that's what we said. So we actually said yesterday, we had a line in the Gemara that we learned yesterday that said, that tkiyas ein ma'akvas zuazu, brachas ein ma'akvas zuazu, and brachas ein ma'akvas zuazu, and tkiyas of brachas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are ma'akvas. So we mentioned briefly that there's actually machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos refers to it on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. What does this phrase mean? Does it mean when we say tkiyas of brachas are not ma'akiv one another? It means, in other words, the brachas, meaning the brachas of Shemana Esrei. So if you said malchus, sechronis, and shofaris, but you didn't blow shofar, then you still yotze, and vice versa. And Tosfos disagrees. What it means is that the tkiyas are ma'akev zuasu, and brachas are ma'akev zuasu, meaning, in other words, you're not going to be yotze by hearing only some of the tkiyas. You have to hear all of them. You can't say, if you heard only, let's say, one time, tarat, you're going to be, or two times, you're going to be yotze. No, you need all three times. The same thing with the brachas. If you're only going to know, let's say you only know the nusach of Malchus or only the nusach of Zechronis or whatever, there's no sense in saying that because you're anyway not going to be Yotze unless you say all three of them. That's how Tosfos learned.
If the tkiyas of the Shemana Esrei and the real ones to Araisa, why were other tkiyas before that decreed?
The other tkiyas before there, Kedela Adra was a son. but we make the bracha on those. But yes, the ones doing Shemona Esrei are, in a sense, the more important ones, which is why we want to make sure not to make a hefsek between them, which is why we have that we don't speak until after all the tekiyos are done, so that they're all covered by the original bracha. That's the idea. So that's how we do
it. What happens if you're behind in the Shemona Esrei, let's say,
You're davening Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei is part of it. That's fine. You're allowed to be davening Shemona Esrei during that time. You don't talk Sicha B'Teva during that time from the beginning of Tkiyas, from the Barachas and Tkiyas, until after the 100 are over. Yeah. Okay. The Mishnah had said, "Kishem Shashliach Tzibur Chayev Kach Kol Yachid B'Yachid." We said, just as the Shliach Tzibur is Chayev in the bracha, so is every individual. And Rabbi Gamliel had said in the Mishnah that no, the Shliach Tzibur is Moitzi everybody Yedei Chavasan. So Tanya, we learn in a brisa, Amru Loi Rabbi Gamliel, L'dvarecha Lama Tzibur Mespalin. According to your logic, why does the Tzibur even daven a quiet Shemona Esrei? If they're anyway going to hear the Chazaras Hashatz from the Chazan, Amru Lahem, and he answers them, K'dila Hastir Shliach Tzibur Tfilasi. The reason is in order for the Shliach Tzibur to be able to practice his tefillah. So he's going to daven Shdilah Shemona Esrei along with everybody else, and that way that gives him a chance to practice it, so he doesn't get confused when he's going to say it out loud. Remember in those times they didn't have sedurim, and even now that we have sedurim, there's still emes at tzibur, and therefore he needs it. Amar lehem Rav Gamliel, and vice versa, Rav Gamliel asked the Chachamim, if you hold that every yochid has to daven on his own anyway, and he can't be yotze with the chazan's repetition, then why do we even have a chazaras hashatz? So they answered him, because the chazan has to be motzi, the people who are not expert, who don't know how to daven. Amar lehem, so Gamliel says to them, oh, in that case, kashem shemotzi es she'eni boki, kach motzi es haboki. Well then, the same way as you can be motzi ones who are not boki, the same way you can be motzi ones who are boki. Now, what do we mean by baki over here? We're going to talk about later. We're going to talk about later on in the Gemara about people who are out in the fields. So Tosfos brings over here two possibilities. Is it that you can have a baki who you can have people who are baki in Shemona Esrei? They know how to daven, but they don't bother coming to shul. So those we can say those they're not they are not yotze. On the other hand, if they came to shul, then maybe Rav Gamliel would be saying they can be yotze with the chazan's repetition anyway, even though they themselves are baki enough to be able to say Shemona Esrei. Tosfos mentions, based on this, something that the Bahag says, that suppose, for example, a person forgets Yalav Yavoi on Rosh Chodesh, or any of the other things that a person has to say, and if not, then he has to repeat Shemona Esrei. Instead of repeating Shemona Esrei, an alternative would be that he listens carefully to the Chazan's repetition and listens to it word by word, and that way he's Yotze, even though he's Bok. Because that's what we're saying. One possibility is we're saying that the Chazan, according to Rav Gamliel, that the Chazan can be Motzi people, even if they are Bok, even if they themselves know how to say Shemona Esrei, and this would be an example of that. Then,
he listens, but he doesn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai.
So then according to that, he couldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai, right? Because then he has to actually be Yotze with it, right? On the other hand, then Tosfos brings up another possibility that maybe what it is among the Bekiyim themselves, we have to distinguish later on, the Gemara is going to mention at the very end, it's going to talk about people who are out in the fields. So maybe what we mean is, in other words, if the Baki was out in the fields and therefore he didn't have a chance to practice the tefillah, let's say we're going to talk about on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur soon, when you have longer tefillahs, so then he can be yotze with the chazan because he didn't have a chance to practice it and to go it over before Yom Tov, but not necessarily with a regular Shemona Esrei, they didn't have siddurim. The first siddur we know of is siddur of Amram Goyim, which is in the middle of the times of the Goyim. Yeah. And it's possible for a short time before that they were doing it, but we find in the Gemara, for example, the Gemara in Shabbos mentions that you're not allowed to write down tefillahs. It's one of those things that became a slash slash m. Eventually it became things are going to be forgotten, and therefore they had no choice but to write it down. Yeah.
You're not allowed to write down tefillahs?
Originally, the Gemara mentions, yeah.
Who taught people how to daven? How did you
so daven? People would learn by heart. That's the point. That's why we have all these dinim about that a person might get mixed up and a person has to practice and so on and so forth. Yeah. That's the point. So Tosfos says, maybe what it is like this. The Baki, if the Baki was not working out in the field and he had time, therefore, to practice the tefillah, then maybe he can't be Yotze with the Chazan's repetition. Only if he was working in the field, fine, he may be a Baki in general, he knows how to daven, but here he didn't have a chance to practice the davening ahead of time, and it is a long, complex davening, then he can be Yotze with the Chazan. Another point, by the way, that we have to mention, and we touched on this yesterday, is it says in Shulchan Aruch, nowadays, so during the year, a person can be yotze with the chazan repetition, although we'd have to be very careful to listen to every single word, and yeah, not to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemai. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's different. There are piyutim in the middle of davening, and that makes enough of a break that you can't be yotze by listening to the chazan. Therefore, every person has to daven Shemana Esrei on his own. So we're not talking about that they're necessarily in working in the field. We mean they were working in the field before Rosh Hashanah and they didn't have a chance. But it could also mean they're out in the fields and didn't have a chance to come to shul and join a minyan. Okay, anyway, let's go on in the Gemara. So Amar Rama Baba Chana Amar Yechanan Moedim Chachamim Rav Gamliel. So the Chachamim ended up agreeing with Rav Gamliel. They said originally that each person has to daven on his own, but Rabbi Baba Chana tells us in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that eventually the Chachamim conceded to Rabbi Gamliel and said the Chazan can be motzi everybody. But the Rab Amar Adayin Hi Machloikas. But Rab says that no, there's still a Machloikas. The Chachamim continued to disagree with Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Shoma Rav Chiya Bred Rabbi Banachmeni. So Rav Chiya, the son of Rabbi Banachmeni, Rabbi Banachmeni is regular Rabbi in Shas. So he heard this. He went and told this over to Rav Dimi Bar Chinina, and he says to him, you should know, you should know that Rab is saying, not like Rabba Baba Chana said, the Chachamim still disagree with Rav Gamliel on this. So Rav Dimi Bar Chinina tells him, there's no chiddush in that. Rabba Baba Chana nami hochi kama. Rabbi Baba Chana actually also says the same thing. You should know, because when Rabbi Yechanan said this, which he had said, what Rabbi Baba Chana quoted in his name, Moedim Chacham Ram Gamliel, you should know, if Ligalei Rish Lakish, you should know that Rish Lakish argued with Rabbi Yechanan, and he said, no, Adayin Hi Machlokes, that it's still a Machlokes. So it's not only Rab who's saying this, you should know Rish Lakish holds the same way as Rab, that there's still a Machlokes. So the Gemara says, "Me Amar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi." Did Rabbi Yechanan really say that they ended up agreeing with each other? Didn't Rabbi Chana Tzipira say in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel and Hilchas and Miklal the Pliki? And the fact that he had to say the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel implies that they're still arguing. If Rabbi Yechanan saying that the Chachamim ended up agreeing with Rabbi Gamliel, there would be no reason for him to say the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. So obviously, Rabbi Yechanan also holds, like Rav and like Rish Lakish, that they're still arguing. So the Gemara says, actually, what it is Kisolik Rab Abba Miyami. When Rab Abba came from the sea, so he had been on a trip, he had been on a boat, and then he came back. Pirsha, he explained what's going on with you. When we say that Moedim Chachamim Rav Gamliel, when Rabbi Yochanan had said that the Chachamim agreed with Rav Gamliel, is Bibrochas to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. When it comes to the brachas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the Gemara is going to explain soon why those should have a different status, then the Chachamim agree that the Chazan can be motzi everybody. But when Rabbi Yochanan says, v'halocha miklal d'pligi, when Rabbi Yochanan says the halocha is like Rav Gamliel, implying that there's still a machlokes, that would be bibrachas to Kol Hashanah. That means that was with Shemana Esrei of the whole rest of the year. So in other words, Rav Abba is explaining like this. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's no machloikas at all. The Chachamim started disagreeing with Rav Gamliel, but eventually they conceded. And therefore, for sure, obviously, we say that the Chazan can be motzi everybody. When it comes to Shemana Esrei, the rest of the year, the Chachamim disagree with Rav Gamliel. They say the Chazan can only be motzi people who don't know how to daven, but Rav Gamliel says he can be motzi even the ones who do know how to daven, and Rav Yechanan is saying the halacha is like Rav Gamliel and that. So in other words, in short, Rav Yechanan is saying that in both Shemana Esrei of year round and of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Chazan can be motzi everybody. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Chachamim would agree with that, and when it comes to the rest of the year, the Chachamim would disagree with that. So the Gemara says, "Eini, is that so?" When we say halacha k'Rav Gamliel, not just the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, we could say we're talking about the rest of the year, but he specified the brachas of Rosh Hashanah v'Shev Yom Kippurim. Davka, when it comes to the brachas of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, implying that they argue about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. Yom Kippur, by the way, primarily we mean the Yom Kippur of Yovel. because again, Yom Kippur the rest of the year is not, I mean, the brachas are, it's still seven brachas. Okay, you know, you have the nusach is a little bit unfamiliar, but the basic concept that you say seven brachas and that you finish off with something about Yom Kippur is pretty straightforward. We mean Yom Kippur of Yovel when you have, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the nine brachas. You have the same middle three brachas, Malchus, Sechernis, and Trevis. Anyway,
based, we don't do those anymore.
Well, we don't do because we don't have Yovel, because we don't have Yovel nowadays, yeah. But anyway, so the point is, Rav Chana Tzipora tells us that Rav Yochanan is saying the halacha is like Rav Gamliel when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, implying the Chachamim still disagree with him on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we're back to the question, what do we mean when Rav Yochanan said that the Chachamim agree with Rav Gamliel? Ela, Omer, Rav Nachum Yitzchak, rather, Rav Nachum Yitzchak explain what it means like this. Man moidim Rav Meir. What we say when Rav Yochanan started by saying that someone agreed with Rav Gamliel, he didn't mean that all the Chachamim agree with Rav Gamliel. He meant specifically Rav Meir agrees with Rav Gamliel. The halacha, we call the pligi Rabban. Then when we say the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, implying there are Chachamim who agree with him, we mean Rabban and we mean the rest of the Chacham. Where do we see that Rav Meir addresses this? D'tanya, brachas shel Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim shliach tzibur moitzi aram yidei chevas and divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says the chazan me moitzi everybody Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the same as Rav Gamliel. V'chamim k'shem shliach tzibur chayev kach kol yochid b'yochid chayev. The chachamim say that no, every yochid is chayev individually. So in other words, you have three opinions. You have the Chachamim say that all Shemoneh Esrei is a person has to daven, each Yochid has to daven on his own. You have Rav Meir says that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Chazan can be Motzi everybody, but not the rest of the year. And Rav Gamliel saying that he can be Motzi everybody, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as well as the rest of the year. And Rav Yochanan said at the bottom of the previous Amud, Halacha could Rav Gamliel, meaning that the Halacha is like Rav Gamliel, even as far as Rosh Hashanah, even as far as Shemoneh Esrei of the rest of the year. Even though Rav Meir and all the Chachamim disagree with Rav Gamliel, nevertheless, he's still saying the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. So the Gemara asks, Maishnohani. Now, what's the difference? Why is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur different that we should say that Rav Meir is going to agree that the Chazan can be Motzi everybody unlike the rest of the year? Why would Rav Meir make that distinction? Are you going to say because in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah you have a lot of extra psukim because you have the psukim of Malchus, Sechronis, and Shofras, and you have all the psukim of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh? But so what's the problem? The Gemara says, "Va'omer of Chananel, Omer Rab, Kiven Sha'omer v'Seiros v'Kos of Leimer Shuv Ein Etzarich." Once the person says, when the person says, when it comes, Rashi explains when we're talking about the Musafim, when it comes to, when it says that Ves Musaf Yom Rashi Yom Yom Azikoran as a Nasiv Naku the Fonecha Baava, Kmitzvah Senecha, Kamoisha Kasabda Alena Visarasecha, Shuva in Itzarich. Then he doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need to say the actual Psukim of the Musafim. So therefore, it's not that big a deal to be able to say Musaf of, to be able to say Musaf and not get mixed up on the Psukim, because you don't have to say the Psukim of the Musafim. Ella, rather, the Gemara says, fine, but you also have Mishum the Avshi Brochus, because you have the Brochus themselves are very long. Actually, Agros Agro takes out the word Brochus. Avshi literally means it's noisy. In other words, there's nine very long Brochus, and not everybody is familiar with the Nusach of the Brochus of Malchus, Sechronis, and Trevis. Now, when we say that you can be Yotze by saying Saros for cause of Lamer, Rashi brings from his Rebbeim a different explanation. We're not talking about the psukim of the Musafim. We're talking about the psukim of Malchus, Sechronis, and Shofros themselves, that it would be enough to say, for example, and that would be enough. You don't have to say Hashem Yimlech Lelem Vod and all the other psukim. Rashi says, what are you talking about? We learned a few days ago, we learned a Mishnah, where we had the Chachamim said you need 10 psukim for each. Rabbi Yechon Manuri had said you can be Yotze with three of each. What do you mean you can be Yotze just by saying over Saras Chokos of Leib? So therefore, Rashi rejects that explanation. However, Tosfos accepts it. Tosfos says that no, what it means is it brings that in fact, yes, if a person started saying the Psukim, then yeah, he has to say all of them, or at least enough of them to be Yotze, which is a minimum of three, according to Rabbi Yochanan Manuri. So as long as he says one Pasuk each from Torah and Neviim Uksuvim, then that's the minimum amount to be Yotze. However, if the person did not even start them at all, and he just says, Saras because of Lamer, then yes, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That's what Rav Chananel was telling us, that you could actually be Yotze that way. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings actually both of these things. As far as the Psukim of the Musafim, in fact, we have a difference of Minhogim between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Sfardim take the view, like Rashi is explaining, that we're referring to the Psukim of the Musafim. You don't have to say them. You could just say Rasaros for Kaz of Lamer or something to that effect. Therefore, when it comes to Shabbos and it comes to Rosh Chodesh, those are common enough that there's no problem that you're going to forget the Psukim. Therefore, they have the minhag to say them. So they say Uyema Shabbos and they say Rosh Chodeshim, same as Ashkenazim do. But when it comes to the Yom Tovim and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then not. Then they just say the equivalent of Kamosha Kasabdo, and then they continue with the next part of Shemona Esrei, and they don't say the Psukim at all. Which means, for example, let's say when it comes to Sukkot, when it comes to Musaf, you're looking our Siddur, it gets very complicated. And, you know, you always have to keep an eye out which ones you're supposed to be saying, which days. You have this paragraph for the first day Pesach, this paragraph for the rest of Pesach, this one for Shavuos, this one for the first day of Sukkot, this one for the second. It's Sfardish Siddurim, that whole thing is much simpler. They don't have any of those Sukkot. Now, when it comes to Malchus, Sechronus, and Shofaros, also, in Shulchan Aruch, it accepts what Tosfos is saying over here and what Rashi Zerbeim had said, that you don't have to say the Psukim of Malchi, Sechronis, and Shofaros. You could be Yotzer just by saying over Saras Chalkas Blamer. However, then it goes on to say, however, the Alter Rebbe brings from the Magen Avraham, that since the whole Jewish people have accepted on themselves as a chiyuv to say those Psukim, then you have to say them, especially Bifrat. Nowadays, we daven Sidurim, you don't have to remember the Psukim by heart, so therefore you don't really have an excuse to skip them. Okay, but in any case, the point is that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur davening, you have extra psukim over there, whether we're talking about psukim of the Musafim, whether we're talking about the psukim of Malchus, Sophronis, and Shofaros, or even if we're not talking about the psukim, again, even if we say that you could skip the psukim and still be Yotze, the nusach of the brachas themselves is law. So, and therefore, people don't know them, and therefore the mayor says that there's more reason for the chazan to be able to be motzi. An interesting side point that comes of this, by the way, is based on our Gemara over here, when we're saying that the Chazan is motzi everybody, when it comes, we're saying that the Chazan can be motzi everybody by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So does that mean, what does that mean in terms of the Tzibur davening the nine brachas? When it comes to Musaf, should the Tzibur be davening the brachas of Malchus, Sechronus, and Shofaros? So there were actually a number of the Gaonim wrote Shuvas on this. You have Rab Natur Noi and Rab Amram going in the middle of time of the Gaonim. You have Rab Shura and Rab Hai going at the end of the period of the Gaonim. They wrote Shuvas saying, no, the Minhag in Bavel, in both Yeshivas, in Surah and Pumbedisa, is that the Tzibur, when it comes to Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, says a seven Bracha Shemana Esrei. They say a normal Shemana Esrei like you would any other Yomtiv, like the same kind that you say in Shachlis and Musaf, and in Shachlis and Mincha and Mayriv of Rosh Hashanah. Only the Chazan says Malchus, Sechronus, and Shofaros, and he is Moitzi, everybody. On the other hand, you find Rishonim starting with Reb Yitzchok Geus, who say that no, the minhag that we learned from our Rebbeim and from our teachers and from our fathers and from our Rebbeim is to say that the Tzibur also says all nine brachas. Now the Ramban says, how could anybody have such a different minhag? The Gaonim are writing to us, not only they're saying what they see from the Gemara over here, what they see, what the Halacha comes out. Think of it, the Ramban said. The Gaonim are the successors. They're actually davening in the same Beis Medrash, the same shul as the Amoraim. Of course, what they say is a continuation of what the Amoraim were doing. So how is there even a Havamina for Rabbi Yitzchak Geus and the other Rishonim to say that everybody should be davening nine brachas when the Gaonim are clearly saying that the minhag, the long-standing minhag in Babel, has not been like that? Nevertheless, the fact is that minhag, that everybody davens the nine brachas, ended up taking over the entire Jewish world. So what happened? The Ravid Halevi Halevi wrote a sefer of Jewish history called Seder HaKabbalah. The primary purpose of it, he was trying to refute the Karoyim. The Karoyim were claiming that they have a basis for their Masorah. So throughout the whole book, he points out how they don't know what they're talking about. We have the Karaites, you know, they're the ones who believed only in Torah Shabbat. They were fairly powerful in Spain in his times. And so he wrote the Sefer primarily in order to show how our Masorah goes ish mipi ish back to Moshe Rabbeinu, whereas theirs is all invented. Anyway, he tells over there a famous story involving the Arbas HaShvuyim. Four great Talmid Chachamim who were captured by pirates, and then the pirates offered each one of them for sale in different places around the Mediterranean. So there was one named Shmaya Rabbi Hanan, who they offered him for sale in Cairo, and the local Jew in Alexandria or whatever, and the local Jews did Pidyon Shvuyim. They bought him off from the Rav, the pirate, and he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he became the Rav of Egypt over there and revitalized Torah over there. The next one was Rabin Hushiel, was sold in Kairwan, and he became the Rav over there, so and the his son is
put them all on Shlichus.
The pirates in effect put them all on Shlichus, yeah. So, Rabbi Hushiel, his son was Rabbi Hananel, the famous Rabbi Hananel, that the Aruch was his Talmud, and Rashi and Tosfos quote him all the time, etc. The third one, he said, Rabbi Moshe. The third one was Rabbi Moshe ben Chanoich, who was ransomed in Cordova in Spain, and he revitalized Torah over there. They had, I mean, they. So it says he's the one involving Alfot Tvila Hazaya, right. I told the story involving that in Yoma, right. The fourth one, the Rabbi Alevi says we don't know who it was. The Doris Rishonim says that maybe actually the fourth one is Rabbeinu Chanoich, who was a young boy at the time. He was on the ship also together with his father, Rabbi Moshe, and they were both ransomed there together. So maybe he's the fourth one, because after all, he himself grew up to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham in his own right. So what's the verb? The Raven Alevi says that these four had set sail from Bari, which is a city in southern Italy. In those times, it had a very big Jewish community with tremendous Talmud Chacham. So therefore, he has a long discussion of this. He says what happened was that up until now, these communities were all tied, most of the communities around the Mediterranean, in Egypt and in Kairwan and in Spain, they were all ruled over by the Muslims, same as Babel itself was. So they all had lines of contact open with the Gaonim, and they followed implicitly everything the Gaonim tell them. Now, all of a sudden, you have tremendous Talmud Chachamim, world-class Talmud Chachamim that are coming from Italy. Italy was under a different government. They were ruled over by the Christians for hundreds of years. So they didn't have direct connection with the Jews of Babel. In fact, their connections were mainly with Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael for a period of time had been ruled over by the Romans, same thing. So they got many of their minhagim and many of their understandings of Torah from Eretz Yisrael. And among them was the idea that everybody davened the nine brachas, not like the Gaonim are learning from our Gemara. So even though the Gaonim have the weight of their Masorah on their side for hundreds of years in Babel, that's how they did. Nevertheless, these four Shvuyim, they revitalized, they made a whole revolution in Torah in the entire Mediterranean basin, in all the different communities that they ended up in Egypt and in North Africa and in Spain. And among the things that came from them was this idea that everybody davens Shtilo Shmoneh Esrei, nine brachas on Rosh Hashanah, and that is how we do Ada Yom Hazeh. So let's continue going back to the Gemara.
In Babel, what did they used to do?
So in Babel, they continued to follow their minhag, I guess. But eventually, as the Jewish communities of Babel declined after the time of the Gaonim, that wasn't the world center of Torah anymore. So eventually, the Jews of there ended up accepting the minhag that had become by that time universal in the rest of the Jewish world. And I guess they also started davening nine brachas. Even as far as I know, even the Yemenite Jews, they're more influenced by Babel than any other community in the world. Even their pronunciation of Lashon Kodesh is very much like the ancient pronunciation of Babel. Nevertheless, I think even they daven nine brachas for Shtilo Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, because it eventually became accepted in the entire Jewish world, the opinion of ultimately seems to go back to these Abbas HaShvuyim, which they brought from Italy and eventually spread over the entire Jewish world.
But how many brachas did he use to daven in Babel?
So that's what we're saying. In Babel, the tzibur would daven seven brachas. Only the chazan would daven nine brachas. By the way, the Baal HaMor mentions in this connection, so the Baal HaMor says, I remember when the Baal HaMor lived, was a little bit older than the Rambam, he lived in the 12th century. He describes how he says, I remember in my time, there was still Kehillas where they used to do the old minhag of seven brachas for the tzibur and nine brachas for the chazan, but nowadays everybody does nine brachas. Actually, the Baal HaMor argues, once we're doing that, why do we limit it to Musaf? The Baal HaMor argues we should be davening nine brachas in every tefillah of Shmoneh Esrei. However, the halacha is not like that, obviously, and we only have it by Musaf. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara, Gufa. So getting back to, we said, Omer of Hanan al Omer Rab, Kibin Sha'omer of Saras Chokos of Lemer Shuvain Itzorech. Once you say of Saras Chokos of Lemer, you don't need to say the rest of the Psukim. Again, according to Rashi, we mean the Psukim of the Korbonus, and according to Tosfos and Rashi's Rebbeim, it means also the Psukim of Malchus, Sachronis, and Shofaris. So you don't need to say the Psukim. Sovereignina, now the Chachamim thought what Rabbi Hananel meant was Hani Milibi Yochid. That's only when a person is davening individually. Alpha Bitsibur loy, but maybe not Bitsibur. Maybe Bitsibur, you do have to say all the psukim. But Itmar, but they said, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, no, Echad Yochad Echad Sibur, Kivin Sha'amar Vesarasa Tazulema, Shuva and Itzar. More in this connection, Amr Rabbi Lazar, La'olam Yastir Adam Tfilaseh Vachakech Hispalo. A person should always practice his davening and only then daven. Because again, they didn't have Sibirim in those times. You need to make sure you're going to know the words. However, the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Abba, Mistabra Milsi, the Rabbi Lazar, the Bracha Shurashana, Vim Shurashana, the Shalprakim. It's more logical to say that what Rabbi Lazar is talking about is the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and other occasions, for example, Yom Tovim, where those are less familiar because you only say them once or a few times a year. But not necessarily is Rabbi Lazar talking about Shemoneh Esrei of the rest of the year, because you say it three times a day, you're going to be familiar with it. And by the way, now that we have Sidurim, the Beis Yosef says, we don't need to do that. We don't need to be master tefillah, even of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because you have it in front of you in the Siddur. However, it does say that when it comes to the Piyutim, since the Piyutim are long and complex, and many people don't know what they say, then you should look ahead of time and understand what they mean before you actually say them in short. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amy, is that so? The rest of the year is davening, you don't have to practice. V'har Rav Yehuda master tzloisi o'matzalei. We see that Rav Yehuda would practice Shemoneh Esrei before he would say it. The answer is, Shaini Rav Yehuda, kibbin dem tlosim yomim, tlosim yomim, have a matzli, because Rav Yehuda did not daven every day. He davened only once every 30 days because he was so involved in learning Torah constantly. He was Torah seyum nasei. Every 30 days, he's reviewing his learning. So at that point is when he would daven. So he was potter from davening the rest of the time. So because Torah Nasai. So but once every 30 days he'd be reviewing his learning, and then he would daven. So therefore, so Kiprakim dummy. So for him, it's like something of Prakim. It's like the Yom Tovim. It's not often enough for him to be completely familiar with it. Therefore, he had to practice it first. But for the rest of us, we don't need that.
Still say Shema.
What? He would still say Shema, right? Yeah. Okay. Amr of Acha Baravira, Amr of Shimon Chasira, Poyter, Hoy Rab Gamliel, Afilo Am Sheva Sodis. Rab Gamliel would say, when Rab Gamliel is saying the Chazim is Motzi, everybody, he means even the people who are out in the fields, which again, it can mean, like we talked about before, it can mean they were in the fields before Rosh Hashanah and they didn't have a chance to practice their davening themselves. Or it could be they're in the fields on Rosh Hashanah, or for that matter, the rest of the year. Again, Rav Gamliel had said, the Chazan is mighty people during the rest of the year as well. So it could mean they're working in the fields, or it could mean they're out in the fields and they don't have the opportunity to come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that's the question. So you're telling me that Rav Gamliel is saying that needless to say, the Chazan can be mighty the people in Shul, even he says you're mighty the ones who are in the fields. Adraba, hani anisi, hani lo anisi. Abirabi, you could argue the other way around. The one who are in the fields.
They're in the shul. They're in the fields, so they can't prepare, but they're in the shul after.
Ah, so that's the thing. You have two different explanations that Tosfos said. One is that Amshav Asodis means they're actually in the fields right now, and the other one that they can't come to shul, and the other one is that they didn't have a chance before Yom Tov. They're in shul now, but they didn't have a chance before Yom Tov to practice the davening.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, but what are you saying? Even the ones in the fields, what does that imply? So you're saying, needless to say, the Chazan would be mozi the ones who are here in Shul. Adraba, hani anisi, hani lo anisi. Adraba, it should be the other way around. The ones who are out in the field are ba'onis. They can't daven, or they didn't have a chance to practice their davening. The ones who are in Shul are not onus. What would be the logic that the Rebbe Gamliel is saying? For sure, he's mozi the ones who are in Shul. And also, a chiddush, he's mostly the ones who are not in shul. In fact, the Tony Abba Breder of Binyamin Bachia, Am Shachore Akoinim, Enim Bachal Bracha. The people who are in shul behind the Koinim are not included in Birkas Koinim. Now, the people who are out in the field are included no matter which direction they are. Why? Because the ones who are out in the field, they can't be there. So therefore, the Koinim have them in mind as well. But the ones who are in shul have to be in front of the Koinim, not behind them. So we see that Adraba, there's more reason to say that people who are outside shul should be Yotze. So Ella, so rather, he also Rovin, Amr of Yaakov Ba'idi, Amr of Shimon Chasida, it's the other way around. When Rav Gamliel is saying that the Chazan is Moitzi, the people, he means only, even the Baki, he means only the ones who are in the fields. My time of Shemda Anisi B'malacha, because they're forced to not be there because of their malacha. So if we're talking about the rest of the year, we mean they're actually doing malacha. If we're talking Dafka Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so the Rif and a number of Rishonim take out the word B'malacha, because if it's Rosh Hashanah, obviously they're not doing malacha. So Danisi, that they're forced to, they can't be in shul. Abba, but Irloi, but if they're in the city, but if they're in the city, then they're not. Because again, being in the city, they would be able to play. Okay. Abba, but Irloi, but not if they're in the city, because if they're in the city, then they actually have to come to shul. So again, you have the two explanations. Does it mean that they have to physically be in shul, and if not, then they can't be yotze? Or does it mean, even if they're physically in shul, it has to also be that they didn't, even though that, because that it has to be either that they're not baki, or that they're baki, but they didn't have a chance because they were working before Yom Tov, and they didn't have a chance to practice their davening. But that's, Tosfos mentioned, the possibility that if they're baki, and they had a chance to practice the davening, even though they're in shul, they cannot be yotze with the chazan's repetition, because they could daven on their own. So again, in principle, the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. In principle, the halacha is you can be yotze with the chazan's repetition always, as long as you listen to it word by word. That is the accepted halacha. However, again, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then no, because you have all the piyutim in between, and therefore that breaks things up. So therefore, you can't, Lamaisa, it says in Shulchan Aruch, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you can't be yotze with the chazan's repetition because of that. And even during the rest of the year, you shouldn't really rely on that, because you're going to have to listen to every single word, and it's going to be hard to. So better, for example, if, let's say, we said before, you missed the Aleph Yavo or whatever, better you should daven again on your own rather than just listening to Chazor Sashatz. Hadron Alach Yom Tov was slick along a sechter Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Have a time, everyone.